Texas Radio. Hey, I'm your host, Steve O'Brien. Alan Crutcher is waiting in the wings. And today, what is today, you say? It's February 26, 23. Dun, dun, dun. And today, we have Dave Kopex. You remember him? He was on a few hours ago. You know, he pulls in the nighttime on Saturday nights. And, you know, I really appreciate your show every week there, Dave. Might as well bring you on first, and then we'll bring Alan on. How are you, Dave?
Well, good morning there, Steve. I'm doing pretty good. How are you today? It's a little cold up here in the Northeast, but standard weather for our part of the world here. But, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Hey, yes, standard weather. I'm not sure what that is. It's really nice outside. I can't really tell the difference between inside and outside, and that'll change. But, hey, Alan, good morning. How's it over there? Are you freezing?
No, it's unseasonably seasonable. Like you said, what is standard weather anymore? No, I will gladly play third fiddle today. You know, he can sit in second fiddle chair today.
Well, we don't have any first, second, thirds. I don't know. That'll get me confused. But anyways, you know, the weather thing, let's go with that for a second. Because I still keep getting all these things from friends and family that go, oh, what's with the weather? And I go, what do you mean, what's with the weather? And they're all, it's different. And I'm going, okay. And they're like, global warming? And I'm going, well, can you say grand solar minimum? And they go, what is that? And I'm going, oh, come on. You going to want me to waste time talking to you about that again, right? Or is it the chemtrails, Dave? You know, I don't know. My mom, she's over there. And, God, where is she right now? New Mexico. And she's seeing a naturopath over there. And I was talking to her. And, Alan, you'll like this one, too, because my mom was asking me about the weather. Just last night, and everybody's talking about the weather because it's cold over here. California's got blizzards. You know, we're warm. This is like, wow, this is really exciting. But anyways, the naturopath, she's like, well, you've got a lot of residue from all the chemtrails. And I'm like, oh, no, great. She says, so we're detoxing on that. And I'm like, oh, no. Good deal, Mom. So what did they detect? I don't know. But it's funny. It's there. It's serious. Right, Dave? Chemtrails are here. The weather's here. We're here.
Geoengineering, I think, is the politically correct term.
Yeah. And that's why. I mean, we could do a whole show on why. Right? You know, why are they doing that? Why? But, you know, in the end, what is the point? Nobody listens. But then that is just me. I'm kind of, do people listen? One of the reasons I brought Dave on was last week we were having a little conversation, and we were talking about horses and so forth. And I think I was talking about the Occupyers, right? You remember Occupy Wall Street and the days of yore, you know, and all that. It was a fascinating time here in Fredericksburg and Texas and around the United States. And that's a lot of rich history, but we don't talk about that too much. And, you know, Dave mentioned part of the time with the Bundy Ranch type, you know, situation. Do you guys remember the Bundy Ranch? Fascinating time. It was somewhere around 2014. You know, I had a brief conversation with Andy. Andy had talked this, and he was talking about how Harry Reid wanted to kick all the cows out of the Bundy Ranch and put up solar panels. And you know what? That was debunked by Snopes. So you can sit back and say, that didn't happen. Snopes said it didn't. You know, but funny time. You want to go back to 2014 with me there, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, that was that whole incident, what happened at the Hammonds, the Bundys, and ultimately came to a head with the what can only be described as the murder of LaVoy Finicum. It was a real atrocity, as you have a county out there. You know, when the Bundys stood up, they were, I believe, the last of 53 ranchers in their county that were still left. I mean, it was clear that there was an attack on ranchers and a food supply. And, you know, LaVoy being you know, of the character that he was. You know, he's, and I point to him as an example of someone who got up out of his comfort zone, got off his ass, and got out and did something when his neighbor was under attack. He knew that it was a matter of time mm-hmm. before they came after him, and he left his town, he left his state to go and fight for liberty. And, you know, look at what happened to the poor guy. But that whole thing was a wash in government lies. I mean, a lot of the impetus for kicking those ranchers out was to protect the environment and the desert tortoise. Now, I saw the compounds where they went in and they took these desert tortoise. Whenever they were spotted, someone called it in and said they saw one. Well, of course, a government runs right out there, scoops the thing up.
Saves them.
They bring him back, and he had a fenced-in area, and I remind you, this is the middle of the desert now. They fenced in an area, threw these turtles in there, and started a little habitat, a compound for them. And it got to the point where they had so many turtles that they couldn't take care of them and had to reintroduce them back into the wild. Now, what they typically do will strategically put these things where they want to attack more property owners, more ranchers, and put them in right in their habitat in their area, but they couldn't even get rid of the turtles that they had, and literally euthanized about half of them.
Dang.
So they killed.
You could call that a turtle FEMA camp.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, only the government can come up with a strategy of killing something to save it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and like you said, when they reintroduced them, into an area that they wanted to take that was still private, so that they could have someone say, look, there's a desert tortoise. We've got to take this land. We'll eminent domain you, or we'll just do a taking. Yeah.
Or like with the wolves, where they're what they reintroduce actually eats their livestock.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. You know, they're very efficient, right? I just feel for the tortoises. You know, they could have been out there having fun and living a life, and then they were put in there. But hey, okay, the government does that quite often. Also, I don't know. That's a part of the story that I haven't heard before. We will be taking calls this whole 2 hours, as long as you want to stay on topic, and we're going to try to stay on topic too. The topic is Bundy 1, Bundy 2, Lavoie, Finicum, and whatever that may lead us to. We can talk about solar panels, right? You know, we just started to talk about Harry Reid. Was it a land grab for the solar panels? I don't know. What I do remember is all of a sudden the BLM was flying over the Bundy's land with helicopters and shooting his cows. And the Bundys had a easement, and they had been grazing that land for how long? It was like over 100 years, right, Dave? I remember, I know it was sometime in the 1800s, but...
I mean, they had been out there for a while, and this family, too, a lot of people don't realize it, but they have several children of their own, but they also raised upwards of 60 young men who came through that house through foster care that they raised right up to young adulthood and are out in the world right now. But they, you know, I point to them all the time as an example of, you know, the caliber of people that we should be. You know, they really had no fear of government. They did what was right every day of the week. And, you know, they were very grounded people. Now, when I went out, because I'm very privileged in that I had an opportunity, because I had interviewed Jeanette after the murder of Lavoie, and we struck up a little bit of a long-distance relationship, and I got married, and I was, looking around to see what I wanted to do for the Patriot honeymoon, and we decided we wanted to go down there to Arizona and go to see what's going on out here, to go to the ranch and particularly to support the Bundys because a federal trial was going on at the time. So, I mean, all the planets lined up for us. We were able to secure flight and housing down there. In fact, Jeanette Finicum, reached out and offered her home. We stayed at the Finicum Ranch for at least half of the time that we were there, and we got to rustle cattle off the rangeland and move it over to Lavoie's sister. And, you know, here I am, an environmental major. I had an opportunity now to see firsthand if anything about the government narrative was correct. And they portrayed these ranchers as a vile threat to the environment. So here I am on horseback, kind of incognito, if you will, you know, riding right along with Jeanette and her daughter, getting cattle off the actual rangeland that the BLM was saying they were destroying. Now, what I saw was an abundance of life. Every single place that human beings went out and developed the water resources, you saw not just the hoof prints of the cattle, but enormous deer and wildlife came through there, smaller animals, little birds and insects, slithering little things in the mud that was left over in the dried up areas, the vegetation, the quantity and quality and diversity was increased in every area where human water development took place. They were a net positive. All those desert tortoise, it turns out that the droppings of the cattle was part of their life cycle. And they thrived where the cattle were. It was not the other way around. They weren't eating all of the food and starving them out. It was nothing like that. It was all a complete lie.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they're...
I mean, think about it, you know. You're raising cattle, you know. You want them as healthy and grow as fast and be as big as they can so you can get more profit off your efforts. It's like around here, you know. My relatives, you know, large areas of land, you know, and but they cross-fenced it. So, and they would rotate their cattle and their sheep through the pastures to keep the pastures healthy. You know, you run your sheep through, and they'll eat it down, you know, pretty bad if you just leave them in one area. So they'd let them eat it down. They'd move them to a different pasture, let that pasture regrow, and you know, you keep everything healthy. You do the best you can for the land. They're the best land stewards there are the people that are living on it.
Yeah, but it wasn't about that, right? Not being good stewards or anything like that. And sure, that would have solved their too many tortoise problem by eliminating all them cows. It was really about something, about taking land. And we're constantly having the federal government, the corporate United States of America, taking land. And a lot of times they take it, and I don't want to get too off on the subject. I hear this on the radio, on the commercial radio stations, where they're talking about land easements, right? And it's where you give the government your land, you know, and you don't have to pay taxes on it, right? I'm going, what? Why would you give anybody yours? No, but you can still walk on it. You're like, oh, God. But anyways, that's a diversion from the whole conversation. The Bundy Ranch thing to me was kind of the first time I saw people actually, well, getting together and standing up for something, right? And saying that that wasn't right. Our old friend Chris Cage, it's Chris Cave, I'm sorry. Chris is out of Vegas, you know. Well, see you here in a bit, guy. You know, he's dead now. He was a great caller, but he was over there at the first Bundy Ranch thing, Bundy 1. And I believe I know a couple other people that were there. And the time was incredible. You had the Patriot community coming over, and that was the second phase of Oath Keepers, I'd call it. You know, it was kind of Oath Keepers was kind of like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, keep your oath thing for a long time. And then all of a sudden they became a security operation when they showed up over. But we can talk about that a little bit or not. But they kind of became a security operation, you know, for the Patriots. And then there was the Oath Keepers, and then there was the actual Bundys proper. And you weren't involved at all. What were you doing when Bundy 1 started there, Dave?
I was watching from a distance, like the rest of America, as this whole thing began to fester and come to light. So much happened in such a little time, and people, I mean, they don't even, property rights out there in that area are not like they are here in the Northeast, for example. What was being fought over wasn't the actual ownership of the property necessarily, because when you have grazing rights is what it is. You know, you may have rights to the water, you may have rights to your cattle being able to eat the vegetation, but they don't actually outright own the property in which they graze their animals. They own the grazing rights, and that's what was multi-generational. And they were trying to break that chain of custody. All right, so when they went out there for to remove the cattle, all right, let's just assume that they wanted, for righteous reasons, wanted to remove cattle to save the turtles. You don't show up with payloaders and bulldozers and backhoes. All right, they went out there and they exterminated. They killed the cattle. They were bulldozing them into mass graves. They were bulldozing all of their water infrastructure that they had put in. They were trying to break beneficial use. All right, the moment you stop using the property for what you had leased it for the purpose, that chain of beneficial use is broken. And then they can swoop in and take the grazing rights. So that's what they were trying to do, is destroy what they had developed out to the point that it was unusable, to break that chain of custody, even for a moment, for a day, whatever they could do. So it was very clear that they were under government attack. Government wasn't there to help them at all, or the turtles.
Man, that kind of sounds like a theme or a plot from a 1970s, you know, standing tall type movie, you know, where a guy comes in, the bully beats him up, runs over his house, kills his daughter and all that.
Well, you know, guys, you know, this is kind of similar. Friday, I had to get my truck inspected, and trying to get that done in Fredericksburg is just a hellish nightmare, believe it or not. It's the hardest part of registering your vehicle. So I went about 30 miles out to a little town out here. It's still a small, fairly kind of like it used to be town. Of course, it's being invaded too by California. And talking to this guy that ran, had a business there, and we got to talking, and he's like, yeah, he said, you see that water tower back over here? That's the Harper water supply. And he said, when it was put in, the LCRA, which is the Lower Colorado River Association, built a tower and granted it to the town. As soon as the cost of building a tower, you know, putting the infrastructure in, as soon as that was paid off, it would revert to the city of Harper, and it would be owned by Harper. And this guy told me, because he's kind of active in his local community, he says, you know, shortly before, I don't know if it was like months or something like that, before it was going to be actually turned over to the city, it was sold to a Chinese corporation, some vast Chinese, you know, investment, you know, holding firm, whatever in the hell it was. And he said, and now they're saying it's like, now they're going to start tearing up the streets, putting in new water infrastructure. And I said, let me guess. I said, your property taxes are going to start rising out of the roof. And he said, yeah, more than likely, you know. This is just an example. In my local community in Central Texas here, this little town, the damn water system was bought by a Chinese, was sold to a Chinese corporation, and Harper's screwed now. You know, the town is basically screwed. They're under the thumb.
Another one bites the dust. Hang on, yeah. Folks. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Republic of Texas Radio, are you still there, Dave?
I am.
Very good. Okay. Yeah, today we've got Dave Kopex from Red Pill Politics. He's usually on, in the middle of the night. Well, very late on Saturday nights. And he's joining us this morning because we're going to be talking a little bit about Bundy 1, how I like to call him, Bundy 1. Bundy Ranch, Bundy 2, which would be the Maurer, however you say it, Wildlife Refuge, and then we will go on from there. But Alan just brought up a rope-a-dope that happened a little bit close to Texas or Fredericksburg, and it was just down the road, and Alan shared the story about the people got together, or were they the people? It was a nonprofit organization. Do you trust those, Alan? Would you trust a nonprofit organization?
That just means they don't pay out dividends to investors. It's like if there's any money left over, that just goes to the board of directors and the CEO and the people at the top in the corporation. That's all that means.
Yeah.
It just means they don't pay out dividends to investors.
Dave, does that sit well with you? Do you trust those guys by default or distrust them by default?
Well, I think by default, we're supposed to be constantly vigilant all the time, and that the relationship with anything governmental is built on a relationship of distrust. But, you really got to evaluate each situation for what it is. As I've seen nonprofits that sound very righteous and benevolent and coming in to save the day, such as Land Trust. Now, I spent a stint of 13 years as my town's conservation agent. I was a department head for conservation. And I saw just about everything that comes through in the form of Agenda 21. And that includes the nonprofit sector around land trust, where they came in, they convinced my town they wanted to save this farm in perpetuity. The old farmer died, the widow was there, the farm was starting to get dilapidated and fall out of use. And they promised the town, we wanted to keep this, preserve this farm and food and, you know, preserve this character in town forever. And we want grant money to buy up the property and then put what they call a conservation restriction or a deed restriction in perpetuity on the property. And when I got the first draft across my desk, the first thing I did, I picked up the phone and I called the director of the land trust and I said, is it possible that you made a mistake and put the name of some other town on this document or something? She says, oh, no, that's the draft of the actual deed restriction. And I said, okay, well, you're supposed to be a land trust protecting a farm for future generations, yet in your own words, you just banned tractors from a farm. What are you up to? And our relationship went downhill from there instantly. Is there a complete fraud? But not all groups are like that. You know, there are some nonprofits that operate for the reasons that they say, but always follow the money and take a look at what the product of what they're doing with these land trusts. The product is eviscerating development rights on properties in perpetuity, one grant at a time.
And folks, what that does, it destroys. It's like that little old lady that her husband died. If she wanted to sell the land is unsaleable because even if you wanted to buy it, when you bought it, it's like you can't put up a new cross fence on it. You can't do any improvements to it because around here they call them wildlife easements. You know, you can run cattle on it or you can have a wildlife easement. And you get a wildlife easement, basically you give your property to a governmental or non-governmental organization, and you can, if you want to go out and pick up a cow patty, you know, off the pasture, you have to get permission to do it. You cannot do anything on what used to be private property. It is now so restricted that no one would ever want to buy it because they can't do a damn thing with it.
Now, it's important to remember, too, is that those things can change hands. We've seen instances where, you know, a small, familiar, local land trust will scoop up a strategic property and then turn around 4 days later for a $2 million profit, sell it to National Autobahn.
Or put up a cell tower on it or put up a solar farm. Yeah.
Sure. But, I mean, it goes from private property ownership to international control pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now, that was a little bit of a segue.
What we call it. Shenanigans, yeah.
Shenanigans, for sure, Alan. Totally. We were talking about the shenanigans over at Bundy Wonder, the Bundy Ranch, right? And we didn't get through what I wanted to get through, because that was an amazing time, 2014. Maybe not amazing to the Bundys, it started all, or the Finnegans. But for us in Patriot land, we saw people actually do something. And I sat here, you know, I was doing a radio show. I don't think I was on the network or RBN at the time. But, you know, as I'm dealing with that, sure. Okay. That's the music. Hang on. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Republic of Texas Radio. Oh man, half hour in, we still haven't even gotten out of the gate. Isn't that great? We're talking Bundy, LaVoy Finicum. These are things from the past, right? And maybe some of your listeners, maybe some of them don't know these stories, but I think it's important to refresh them every once in a while because I forget about stuff. I found this one article based on what Andy was talking about, solar panel Harry Reid. That was pointing to Republic Broadcasting, calling, saying, as in the words of Republic Broadcasting, a Tea Party radio station, oh crap, if John Stadtmiller heard them call his radio station a Tea Party radio station, wow, he must have been pissed off that day. But it's nice, at least they noticed, right, Dave? What is left to be said about Bundy 1? It's a huge subject. I could probably talk about it for an hour, but I'd like to get to LaVoy and go to Bundy 2. It amassed a whole bunch of patriots. I guess that's a thing. There were hundreds of people that went to the Bundy Ranch to try to stop BLM. This was called the Bureau of Land Management, not Black Lives Matter. And it's kind of funny that we have the BLM and the BLM, and they're both bad guys, right? Okay, fine, right? But the BLM, Black Lives Matter, is mainly white kids. What? Okay, forget it. Let's go back to the Black Bureau of Land Management. So there was a standoff. That was one of those other things that I really, really remember from Bundy 1. Bundy 1, all the Patriots were there, and there were snipers from the Bureau of Land Management or whoever the hell the snipers were from were on a bridge. And there was a standoff that happened and a confrontation that was actually pretty, well, was it almost the start of a something, Dave? Do you remember that?
I do it, and it was one of the first times in a long time that, you know, the people in that affected area stood on their own two feet and said no. I mean, it's a good example of civil disobedience, right? It was civil. It was by nature not violent. I mean, every person there was armed. If they were there for the purpose of instituting violence against the government, I mean, they had everything they needed, but yet didn't fire a shot. This was a peaceful act of civil disobedience where they just said, no, you're not taking the ranches. In fact, we've come here to take the cattle. And they did get the cattle. You know, I last night there was a caller that called in, and he was kind of, you know, he was feeling a little whooped, I guess, that it was futile to fight government. And we were talking about the COVID stuff. And I gave them the only three examples that I had here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts where people said no. All right. One of them was a gun shop. One of them was a church. And one of them was a gym. And you know, similar thing happened in two of those three locations. They never bothered the gun shop, which is probably, you know, common sense and a good idea not to bother a guy who's armed up to his eyeballs. But they did go after the church. They told him he couldn't hold service. And the first thing he did after, because they sent him tickets, which he ignored. They sent him cease and desist, which he ignored. So they finally tased and arrested him. And his first statement when they let him out of jail was to announce Sunday service. And, of course, the mayor and everyone just couldn't believe they were being defied and said, well, we're just going to go down and arrest you and shut you down again. Well, he wound up with having probably more people on the outside of that church encircling those entry doors than what he had for parishioners inside. All right. Mm. And the people were there in force. The cops were buzzing like, you know, like someone just stoned their bee's nest. They were all over the place, but never stopped, never hassled him at all. And the second was a gym. The government said, we're going to issue you tickets, which he ignored, cease and desist, which he ignored. He said, we're going to cut the power. And all of the people came together and said, well, we're bringing generators. I said, well, then we're going to just cut the water off of the street. And they said, well, okay, here you go, 300 cases of water in your storage room. So they showed up and boarded the place up. They said, thank you for the plywood, and took their plywood. They said no, and nothing happened to them. Two of the three of them went to court and won. So, you know,
about the time Steve and I met, Steve, you remember Ed and Elaine Brown? Remember a guy named Gordon Call? Remember a guy named Randy Weaver? You know, this crap has gone on a lot, and a lot
Weaver's
of things we
twisted
forget.
In the breeze. And no one showed up until after they were dead. That's the problem, is people showed up and complained after the government murdered people. All right, we got to stand up early. I keep telling folks, your first opportunity to be a patriot, to stand up and fight against this, is probably not going to be a government aggression towards you. It's going to be a government aggression towards your neighbor, and you better be ready to fight and defend your neighbor from being violated, because they're just going down door to door, you know, theoretically. And it's just a matter of time before they come to you. So fight while our numbers are high. Defend your neighbor every time.
Mm.
That's what LaVoy did. LaVoy could have stayed home and just minded his own business. And he went, drove hundreds of miles to help a community fight for their rights, because he knew that that monster was just steamrolling his direction and was inevitable and he wanted to fight him while our numbers were big and our strength was there.
That happened under the, what, Obama puppet regime? Was he a puppet? Is he the player? I don't know. But that did happen during the Obama time, and, well, they lost. You know, technically speaking, Bundy won, went to the Bundys, right? Bundy versus the government. You know, I know there's probably a case like that, but we can get into that too. But they won, Bundy won. We won, Bundy won. You know, I had a good friend of mine that was facilitating a, what do they call that, a bridge call? That lasted the entire time of the Bundy Ranch siege. Was it a seizure? It was an occupation? I don't know, an attack? And that was for resupplying them. And I was fascinated by it because they'd have people from that were camping out over at the Bundy place say, we need this, we need that. And they'd come up with the money and send it Walmart to Walmart. All you have to do is you'd buy it online and it ships. I'm like, going, you're using Walmart to supply these people? That's hilarious. Right?
Well, Steve, in today's terms, they would call it an insurrection conducted by domestic violent extremists.
Yeah. Yes. But the scary part about the Bundy thing is there were insiders, FBI, they're everywhere, guys.
Right? And Elaine Brown, too. They got infiltrated, and that's how they got them. You know, they were holed up there, and they got a little lax in their security, and someone infiltrated, and they got taken down from within, like a whole lot of things do.
And it happens, you know.
I think it was a supporter pretending to be independent media was supposedly sneaking them in some supplies, and it turned out to be an agent. And,
yep.
And that can't happen. But people did come to the aid of Ed and Elena Brown. But it just, the long distance, and that was when I woke up. Dave, I saw that as a computer geek working for a corporate company, and I looked and I saw this article about, wow, the government is, surrounding a tax protester? Oh, what would tell me more? And ABC wasn't talking about it, CNN wasn't talking about it, Fox wasn't talking about it. But I could find it in the local news, and it was real. And then I could find it over at RBN, right? And I'm like, what the hell is this RBN? Right? But I was just going, everybody should know about this, right? If these guys, there were those guys Ed and Elena Brown, and they were just saying, show me the law. Oh, crap, we can end this right now, I said, right? Thinking that everything was fair and up hunky-dory.
Aaron Russo, Freedom to Fascism, comes to mind.
Yeah.
Great film.
Well, look what happened to Sherry Peel Jackson, the actual IRS agent that made that phrase famous. Mm-hmm. Show me the law. They said, we'll show
you. I was going to make $50,000. They put up a challenge, and I worked for the IRS. I knew it, and I was gonna prove it and make $50,000. And she's like, what? There is no law? She worked for the IRS, just like Guy Bannister did, a different Guy Bannister than the New Orleans guy, but yeah.
Yeah, and they tried to gag her, and she wouldn't be quiet, so they put her in federal jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And they still haven't produced a law.
No, they haven't, have they? They say it's complicated.
Complicated. Not really. People put it to me this way, there's a lot of truth to this, is that the Constitution protects private contracts, right? The government cannot interfere and molest in the matters of private contracts between people. And what they've done, from the Reconstruction Acts on, they've completely reconstructed what this country is. And we've been very much turned into corporate entities, and when we contract with them, whether it's a contract for one of their driver's licenses, which are supposed to be used when you're engaging in commerce on the public roadways, really any type of a license, it's a contract. Your FID, you've decided to contract with the government. And when you go and take a close look, and I got a case, in fact, one of my future shows, I'm going to have a guest on who's fighting a charge right now and has sat right here in my living room and showed me the Mass General Laws that defines a firearm as something that's carried by law enforcement. that all gun control laws are relevant specifically to government employees who have been hired as law enforcement and does not even apply to us. So we get an FID and contract into the corporate entity and then wonder why we don't have our constitution. You know, we get a driver's license contract with this entity and wonder the same. Why can we not travel freely like the constitution says? It's because you opted out of the constitution and contracted in to be in a corporate franchise where you either did or did not adhere to the franchise rules.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
That's the thing, my friend. See, it's like all these executive orders and administrative laws. You know. Point of fact, those are only for government employees that those rules are supposed to relate to. You know, so in effect, they've made us all government employees. You know, unwittingly. You know, for the most part. But you know, executive order. That only pertains to the governmental system itself. That is not a general common law. But once again, everything's been bastardized.
No, well, they don't have civics in school anymore, and people don't know that. You know, I had
it went from civics to social studies. There's a big difference there, folks.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh well, so we slide a little bit, and but then. Again, we're talking about activism here, really, and understanding where it all went wrong is important. And I'm not too sure where it all went wrong, but a lot of us are participating in the nonsense, and I'm not admitting to participating in any nonsense. But I do kind of worry about a lot of things, and that's for a different show. This show is about the Bundy, so we're going to conclude the Bundy one as saying it was a point of time that it was amazing. It was a time when the villains, the Black Lives Matter, Bureau of Land Management, that's the other BLM, went over and tried to take land from, well, they did take land or the rights of some individuals, and the Bundy family themselves stood up. Hey, let's add this to the mix. There was a guy, and this works with the transition too. There was a guy, a son of Amon Bundy. He was the actual landowner and had the grazing rights, as Dave likes to say, to the land that the Bureau of Land Management was trying to take from him. He had a son named oh, God, how did I just forget that? It's not Amon, it's, what's his son name, Dave? Come on.
There's Ryan and David.
No, there was another one. Who's running for Montana governor, or was?
I think that was Amon.
Amon Bundy, okay. Oh, man, there's Amon, right? You know, and he's pretty much the start of what I call Bundy 2. Right. How did Bundy 2 start? Right. It was a story of well, we know it as the Maurer Wildlife Refugee, but there were two other people, the ranchers that were at the head front of it. And dang it. Now my brain's going to sit there and do that to me. They let a backfire.
The Hammonds.
Right, the Hammonds, and the Hammonds were in trouble. Tell me about the trouble there, Dave, before we go to break.
Well, they were like the last ranch standing out there. That all of the others, like 53 in that county, and they were the final ones that just took a stand. So, you know, I mean, we didn't gain much out there other than. You know, we drove a stake in the ground and said, you know, no in this instance. But, you know, 52 other ranchers were eviscerated. And that affects the food supply. We're all seeing it right now. You know, what they were doing back then and even before that, this is just when it came to a head. They've been doing it for a decade or more. and we watch as our food prices creep up and our quality goes down. You know, we're getting food now that, you know, we have environmental laws here that prohibit the growing of food in particular ways, using certain fertilizers and pest control and weed control. And then we export all that to other nations where they don't have those controls, where they do use the nastiest of chemicals to grow this food. They pick it when it's green, throw it on a tugboat, and gas it to artificially ripen it. When it gets here, it has no nutrients. It tastes like crap. And, you know, it's grown using chemicals and things that have been banned here in the United States. Now, you can't tell me that the price of food is not going to skyrocket when, rather than getting, you know, driving by your food on your way to work every week, you now get it on tugboats from across the ocean. This is a national security issue that people have.
Oh, yes, it is. That's the music. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here we go, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we're coming up on the top of the hour. Wow, I got Dave Kopeck. He's joining us for, well, the entire 2 hours. You're welcome to call in. The usual number works, 512-248-8252. But we're talking about the Bundys, right? The Bundy Ranch thing. And hopefully we'll be in talking about Lavoie Finicum and how this all goes together, because where we were on this conversation, where we just got to the Maurer National Wildlife refuge. And, well, it was all about these guys, Dwight Hammond and Steve Hammond. And they were running a ranch. They were cow people. And there was a fire. And the fire was coming their way. And they lit a backfire. And the backfire crossed their boundaries into a federal land. And then the feds said, well, you can't burn our land. You need to go to jail. And they go, well, you burn our land. And we took care of the fire. And it didn't do anything. It didn't hurt you. But they're like, yeah, but we want to put you in jail. Right. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing the whole thing. And that got people really upset. You know, there were all the people out there. This was about 2016, if I remember right, or on the backs of the first event, which was the Bundy Ranch debacle. That was when the BLM went up against the Patriot community and the Bundys and lost, right? A government agency loses. But do they ever lose because they just keep coming back? They're sticky, but... Hey, you know, Dave was saying just a little bit ago, you can't not stand up to them because you lose automatically then, right? So what happened over at the Mauer Wildlife Refuge, right? You know, everybody was sitting there going, we've got the Hammonds. Do you want our help? Do you want us to Bundy you? And the Hammonds said, nope, we're handling this through the courts. We don't want anything with that. Right, Dave? You want to carry?
I mean, they really took the place over and were using it as a, I guess, a central office, a hub for dealing with this issue. And it was their position that it was their tax dollars that paid for it to begin with. So they were using that as a focal point. And you know, going to, you know, the day that Lavoie Finicum was murdered, they weren't out driving around the countryside terrorizing people. They were en route to a meeting with the county sheriff.
Yeah.
Okay, and they set up not just a roadblock. It was a military-style kill stop.
It was
set up to kill whoever came down that road.
It was definitely an assassination. It was, planned, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, right? And we're about to hit the top of the hour, so we'll revisit this here in a few minutes. But I totally agree. One of the strangest things of the Mauer Wildlife Refuge was the assassination of Lavoie Finicum. And it really put a hard stop to the end of this. The BLM, the government, the feds, whoever the hell you want to call them, you know, weren't happy with the outcome of Bundy.
Yeah, right? They didn't go in there and shoot up the place. I mean, they went in there.
They didn't.
They talked to the employees and said, we're taking over. You guys can wrap up and head home. Oh, we got it from here. It wasn't a hostile situation at all.
No, I mean, definitely. Okay. We'll be back after the top of the hour break. Republic of Texas Radio. Sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.